If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Finish first on the ladder, surely you get to play it on a Friday night at your home ground.
What's the difference between Thursday and Friday?
Well, there's people that have work.
Are you worried about the fans or bedtimes and that sort of stuff?
Yeah, I am.
The fairness of the competition, Mick.
Hello and welcome to the Round 23 Super Footy Podcast. Only 8 teams left and a monster week of finals. But I want to start right there because the schedule for the first week of finals has just come out. And to me, Richmond and Hawthorn on a Thursday night is an even bigger joke than the 18-metre goal square, and that is saying something. What is going on with the fixturing as we welcome Jay Clark and Lauren Wood?
Yeah, you're coming off the long run here tonight, Mick. Just minutes before we've recorded this, the AFL has announced the fixture for the finals week one, and I think we're all surprised. Richmond, Hawthorn, Thursday night, 7:20. Melbourne, Geelong have got the prized Friday night spot at the MCG, 7:50. A twilight game, Sydney and GWS, a Battle of the Bridge Mark II within weeks of that last one. And then West Coast and Collingwood. I know there's a few Collingwood fans already up in arms about playing over in the West on the Saturday night. But, yeah, must admit, the Thursday night absolutely came out of nowhere to put Richmond and Hawthorn. It'll rate its head off, we know that. Richmond and Hawthorn, they'll turn out in big numbers. But, geez, I would have picked that to be the Friday night every day of the week.
It's not all about ratings. Jay-Z?
What's the problem here?
The problem is, one, it's not school holidays. So I just can't believe that we're going to break with tradition and have a final. Has there ever been a final in Melbourne on a Thursday night? When you finish first on the ladder, surely you get to play it on a Friday night at your home ground.
What's the difference between Thursday and Friday?
Well, there's people that have work.
Are you worried about the fans or bedtimes and that
thing.
Sort of stuff?
Yeah, I am.
The fairness of the competition, Mick. I think
How does Collingwood, who, as Tony Shaw's just tweeted this, so Collingwood have now, just say they lose, they're playing on a Saturday night, so they'll come back on the Sunday, you would presume.
No, so but West Coast played today, so I agree with
that.
They've
got about 15 days to recover from today.
But it's got to be still even. They've got to be even breaks. Who cares if it's a Thursday night or a Friday night?
Well, to me, consensus that I can see on the Twitter tonight, this is a shocker call from the AFL. But we shouldn't be surprised because there's been so many of those of late. But that's okay. You don't think it's an issue?
What do you think it's a problem, Lauren?
Oh, I'm not saying it's a problem. I'm just saying it's a surprise. I would have said that Thursday night footy, we've seen finals in Perth played there in recent years. I think it works really well over there. We've got the time difference.
Why
does
that work
sort of thing.
Well here?
I'm not saying it won't work well. I'm just saying I'm surprised by what's been released tonight. It's just, yeah, it just seems to have come out of nowhere. Of course, as you say, Jay, it does create
even
breaks as we move into the week two of the finals. But, it's just a bit of a...
Look, isn't the Carlton-Richmond, isn't the season opener a Thursday? Isn't that a Thursday night?
Yeah, but that's different, Dave.
No, it is. They get 90,000, lad, it's the same.
Richmond fans will turn up, even if we were just saying on air before, if they played it at 2 o'clock on a Tuesday afternoon,
I think
still
you'll
be
find that the tribe has spoken, Jay, but we'll move on and we'll go through the game.
So I'm off Twitter, so I didn't see that.
You're off Twitter now, we need to assess
that. Is that a rumour or a whisper?
There is a story behind that. But let's get into the first... Well, we've all been at the Melbourne game today where they smashed the Giants, who really, you'd have to say, the injuries have just caught up with them. Lobb went down as well. Has come at a bit of a cost for the D's, with Dom Tyson going into surgery tonight on his broken arm, I believe, or wrist. Dean Kent as well looked nasty with the shoulder. But they will get Viney back. A few wrote them off. Are they back in premiership calculations?
Well, it was a great performance from the D's, and I tell you what, a similarly outstanding performance from Simon Goodwin in the press conference. That was the press conference of the year. Because he said
that while you're late.
I was a bit late because I was at that. He said that Melbourne's brand of football stands up to finals. They've beaten once in the contested possession count for the year. They feared no one. They've only lost to Geelong by 2 and 3 points in their two games. They've got the best ruckman in the competition in Max Gawn.
It's hard to argue with it, isn't it?
Clayton Oliver, etc. Yeah. Jesse Hogan's departure's meant nothing.
Finally,
Sam Whedon's up to it. So, look, I think they could get the Cats. And I tell you what, I love the fact that, you know, the history here, because Geelong has... Yeah. put Melbourne to the sword on so many occasions.
Including the famous game down there.
186.
186.
In 2011. And this is the revenge that could be served.
I'm with you
cold.
There. This, the loser here,
yep.
Well, they're out.
Long summer.
Is, oh, boy. That's going to be a great game.
Yeah, it's going to be a cracker. Of course, the most recent one. They'll be looking for a bit of revenge for that one too. Zach Tui's kick after the siren down at GMHBA. Yeah. But I just can't wait to see what Chris Scott does in his ruck setup, because obviously Max Gawn, he's in incredible form. You know, they're talking about him for the Brownlow. And obviously Geelong,
good
they've
point.
Sort of battled with that this year. Reece Stanley's been down with that calf a couple of weeks ago. Obviously the bye comes in handy for him. Asava Radigalia, he's going to play in the VFL next week. So maybe do they, you know, potentially throw him into a first final in, what's he played, something like 10 or 11
yeah,
games. Take
it.
The risk with him. What are they, you know, Zach Smith, he's been playing a lot of twos footy. Do they roll the dice with him? How it looks for Jack Henry. Like, there's so much. The bye's going to come in handy, not only for Reece Stanley, but I think for Chris Scott as he kind of weighs up. He's got another week to work out how he's going to tackle Max Gawn.
And how Dangerfield is not an MVP nominee from his club of the three is an absolute joke. The
is
second
that a slap?
Absolute joke.
Is it a slap in the face from his peers?
I think it's a slap in the face of the award itself.
Because players
the
vote
second
on that,
best
don't they?
Player in the comp, he's ranked second best by champion data. He had a monster game. He's second outright for the Brownlow.
But it's your teammates
yet
who
he
not...
can't win the MVP.
But isn't my understanding
teammates
is that
or the whole comp?
It's my understanding is that it's your teammates vote internally first,
yeah.
Yeah.
And that puts your three players up,
correct.
And then everyone in the competition votes those players. So really, Blitzarves, Hawke and Stewart's nominations come from the Cats players.
I know, but what does it say about the actual integrity of the award?
Yeah, it is a popularity contest. How would you vote 3-2-1, both of you, quickly?
The Dusty will win it. Because I still think his peers will rate him as the best player, even though he hasn't had the year.
What yeah, that's interesting. I think Max Gawn. I know I just spoke about his value. When you're talking about the most valuable player to a team, not only his work in the ruck, but also around the ground,
gee.
His kick goals, I think he's been a superstar.
Lance Franklin?
Well, I don't think so.
Okay.
But you think so?
I think he'd be a chance.
You might
I
have.
I
think
it's
you got a lead. Even.
Did
you
I heard it suggested on the weekend that Patrick Cripps.
Well, we can talk about him,
you know,
because he's a one-man
MVP.
Band just about. he was best on ground in another slaughter. Just tell us quickly about this email from Jordan Lewis that you wrote about.
So they beat West Coast on the Sunday, and then they were criticised of over-celebrating on the final siren. They had Monday off. And then Jack Viney revealed today on Triple M Rocks Football that Jordan Lewis sent an email that hit all the players' inbox on Monday night. It was very sternly worded, apparently. There was no mucking around. He said, boys, good win. That's in the past. We focus on the next stage, it's GWS, and hitting the ground running for finals. So that's the experience of a full-time premiership player really counting for something there.
He did it again this afternoon. The Melbourne players were taken straight into their meeting after they sang the song in the rooms there. And after about 4 or 5 minutes, the coaches came out. Coaches went into a separate room and left the players in there with the door shut. And understand it was Jordan Lewis again who spoke to the group immediately after the game today and really reinforced.
A couple of unsung heroes from Melbourne, other than Lewis. Sam Frost has become one of the most important players. James Harms, he re-signed a few months ago.
Didn't he dominate Josh Kelly?
His value in the past 3 months since re-signing has gone up about $200,000, I reckon.
Yes.
And Jesse Hogan, he's not in the goal square. I'm convinced they don't need him.
He goes to Fremantle.
They get picked 5 for
Vince
him.
Pretty upset in the rooms. Well, not upset, but, you know, it's hard for those guys, isn't it, to miss out. And Joel Smith, they reckon, is right to come back too. So they're in good shape. Who wins?
Making the amusing notes. So I wrote during the week in the Herald Sun that, you know, Melbourne don't need Jesse Hogan. You know, he could be traded. You know, Jack Melch,
it was a loaded
full
article,
forward.
I thought.
Did you?
Looking ahead to the trade period.
I was coming down from... for the press conference, I jumped in the elevator by myself, went from level 3 to B2. I get to level 2. Who walks in? Jesse Hogan. How are you, Jesse? Good to see you, Clarkie. Well, there's a foot, mate. Yeah, no good.
I had a similar...
Didn't see the story?
We didn't...
Just
we didn't,
an elephant in the elephant in
we
the
didn't
lift.
Talk about
I
it.
I had a similar elevator confrontation with Patrick Keane, actually, last year. When
did
ding,
you?
The door opened, and there he was, and there I was, no one else around.
Old mates from way back.
Oh, yeah. Now, so who's going to win? Who's going to win that one? Melbourne or Geelong?
Oh, I think Geelong.
Ooh.
just because of, you know, they've got so many experienced players when it comes to finals. But I can't go past the D's at the moment. I love watching them.
Hang on, D's are the Cats. I'm confused.
I'm saying I think it Geelong, but I really want Melbourne.
Just give us one team.
I'm going Melbourne because I think they will just, they'll play with reckless abandon. They're thrilled to be there. They've got nothing to lose.
Melbourne is riding a tidal wave to this premiership, and they've got the offensive potency to kick a winning score in every game they play.
Yeah.
So
I reckon you're barracking for Melbourne just about.
Why?
I think
mate, 12 years of misery.
No, I'm on board. The long-suffering fan base. I feel great on for Nathan Jones. I reckon Melbourne as well, because I think a lot needs to go right for Richmond to win the premiership. Now, let's talk about Richmond versus Hawthorn, which is on a Thursday night. Can you believe it's on a Thursday night? Tigers have played a few dead rubbers, but they're coming up against not just Hawthorn, but Alistair Clarkson. He's got 2 weeks to come up with a plan to beat Richmond, and if anyone's going to do it, he can do it.
Yeah, I see a curveball. I think the Hawks can get them.
Sort
of that uncontested game style, I think they can play keepings off, and that takes out that swarming defensive pressure. You know, it lessens it. So I think if Hawthorn have a good kicking night and can play wide and switch sides and all that, I think Clarko could undo his protege. I can't wait for the game. It's going to be an absolute belter. I just wonder whether there's a big twist in this season to come.
Yeah, it will be a belter. Even if it was played on a Sunday morning, Mick, I think it would be an absolute cracker. But, I mean, we said it a few weeks ago. We were asked if there was a team that could undo Richmond, and there was, as we said, only one man that could really undo Richmond, and that was Alistair Clarkson. And as you say, he's got another week under his belt to try and figure out how to do it. Richmond were pretty un-Richmond-like on Saturday
against
the Bulldogs.
Dead rubber syndrome.
And it was pretty bruise-free, pretty bit self-preservation. Yeah. So I don't think we can take much out of that. A couple of players to come back in, and handy ones too. I think Kane Lambert, he'll slot straight back in. Dan Butler might be given an extra week and be back for that second final.
Well, that's interesting, because who comes in, who comes out? It's going to be really tight.
Broad was quiet.
Broad's crucial to their back six.
That's the thing. He doesn't rack them up, but he does a great job.
Conker and McIntosh would be stiff.
But you tell me who you think is going to be the unlucky one.
I think it's going to have to be Conker. But I like the way that Conker's playing.
The way that he rolls.
It's a good luxury to have. The intrigue here is that the winner of Melbourne Geelong will play the loser of Richmond Hawthorn. So you've got... Surely they won't put that on a Thursday. They might put it on a Wednesday night, or, you know, midday on a Wednesday. Who's your tip there then?
Curveball Hawthorn.
Richmond for me.
Right, well, I've also got a disclaimer for you, Jay. I will actually be at Barn Boogle when that Thursday night.
I've got to bring my golf bag for you.
Yes, can you bring that in? Now let's talk about the third final. West Coast versus Collingwood. I think this is being played at 12 o'clock on a Tuesday, according to the AFL scheduling. No, it's a Saturday night, is it?
It is, yes. 8:10 p.m. Melbourne time.
Right. And what's going to happen there, people?
Oh, well, it's only Collingwood's second trip west for the year. They're the lucky ones. I think for the last few years, they're the only team that has only had to go to Perth once for a season. I think maybe over the last 10 years or something. So it's been an incredible record for Collingwood, only having to travel there once per season.
At the G.
They do. They do love the MCG. We know that. But, I mean, to have to go back there twice in 3 weeks, it's obviously been a massive week for them off the field as well. I wouldn't be going past West Coast at home.
I am. I think it's Collingwood's game to
another
win over
curveball.
There. They've been very good
on the
road.
You've got Hawthorn and Collingwood hosting prelims.
Yep.
God help us.
I think the West Coast, they're not a spent force.
They get Josh Kennedy back.
They do, but he comes off 5 weeks off with a fractured leg. They don't have Gaff and Nick Natanui. I think... You know, what Nathan Buckley has done in this Collingwood story is outstanding. They've got, they couldn't get West Coast in the midfield, and we've seen that speed at ground level is good enough. Clearly the big question is the defence, whether the defence can stand up. I mean, it's very young. Nathan Murphy, Jack Madgen, etc., as you said, they'll come up against Josh Kennedy. But I think Collingwood can do it.
The Eagles really got him at the G. Will Treloar be playing, and is the Sam Murray situation upsetting to the harmony of the team?
Well, it's unfortunate and it's disappointing, but I think if any club is well equipped to deal with distraction and sort of outside chatter and all that, it's Collingwood. So I don't think that can derail him at this point of the season.
This is where it's going to get interesting, because obviously he's waiting that B sample to come back. you would think that that's going to come back in the week of that game, the way that it's
right. It's irrelevant.
Up.
They're always the same, yeah, aren't they? Like, when is the B sample different to the A
only
sample?
Only when it's in Russia and it gets contaminated.
But I think it's more, like, it's not that it doesn't matter, but it means that that result's come in. Say it comes in the Tuesday or the Wednesday, they're preparing to fly to Perth.
I don't reckon
he gets
the
ban
would know.
Handed down. You know, think, it's sort of...
I don't reckon the players would find it. I don't reckon they would know. I don't reckon they'd get told. Anyway.
I reckon it's got to be sad when your mate just disappears off the face of the earth and he's not allowed to be at the club. I don't know what he was thinking.
He's a first-year player. You know, if it was Tyson Goldsack or Pendlebury Chalor, but it's not. It's a first-year player. He probably doesn't, you know, wasn't as embedded maybe as some of the other players. So, you know, I think it would be a bigger lift if Goldsack sort of can get back. You know, something like that. Chalor can get back. I think there's other forces at play here which are stronger.
I'm going to go for the Eagles. Now, the other finals. Battle of the Bridge. Beautiful. Swans versus Giants. They held back Buddy.
And Luke
they held
Parker.
Back Parker. It's at the SCG. I reckon they should win that.
Yeah, they haven't had a great record at that ground in recent times. I know typically, it's a bit of a weird one, isn't it? You'd usually always tip a team at its home ground. But, obviously GWS, Rory Lobb went out of the game late with back tightness. He would be a massive blow for them. I know they're pretty confident that he'll be right to play. But, geez, if he goes down, that would be an irreplaceable loss
for
them.
Well, Toby Green, they reckon, could be back.
He could be back, exactly right. That's been a massive loss for them. Jeremy Cameron wasn't exactly firing at the MCG this afternoon, so he'll be looking to get back in touch then. But, no, I'll be tipping Sydney. Buddy will be back. Luke Parker will be back. And we know that, Buddy loves the finals.
I think neither of these teams are going to do any damage in September anyway. Like, I reckon they're both, seventh and eighth ranked teams in the finals anyway. So whoever does win that, I reckon they'll struggle to get past the next week anyway. I think both these teams with the injuries they've received are sort of struggling. And GWS, you know, will clearly be under pressure to get to the grand final next year.
We've got a week off, but there's going to be plenty of awards. Jack's already won the Coleman. The Rising Star, you'd think, will go to Stephenson.
I hope so.
Any other suitors there, Jay? Or I think that one's in the bag.
I think that's done and dusted.
Lauren?
Yeah, I would think so.
And the All-Australian team. Have you got that on your notepad?
Yes, that's next. What do you reckon?
Well, let's talk about it.
Yep, go. Captain.
Will there be some shocks?
Your mate the Duck said said Jack Riewoldt should be captain.
Yeah, I think there might be some chance of that actually happening.
In terms of
the key forwards, I thought that Franklin only a month ago would be very lucky to make
it.
Well,
you said you'd be sick, didn't you?
Yeah, well, I think I'm going to have to...
I'm going to pull out that audio.
those bags from the aeroplane that you can...
Well, I don't think he should be in it. He's had a very good a cup. Oh, you fall for the celebrity status, don't you? the personalities involved. I don't think his season has been that good. And if Duck's mail is right, and Hawkins misses out, and Ben Brown misses out, I think both those guys have had better years than Lance Franklin. But what do I know, Mick?
Well, that'd be huge. It's already been voted on, as we know. He's voted on before the final round.
Well, that's like when they give the Norm Smith with
15 minutes
to go. And Buckley won it instead of Voss. You thought we would have learned.
But I wouldn't go past Jack for the captaincy. I don't know if that's quite...
Well, it sounds like a leak.
I don't think it's that far-fetched. Like, he's had an incredible year. He's transformed his game. He's incredibly mature. He was very, very humble speaking yesterday afternoon after winning the Coleman medal. He's, I noticed a few tweets saying, you know, Jack, he sooks it up when they don't kick it to him. I think he's past that. I think he's matured beautifully. He's done massive things for Richmond.
His coach now sooks it up when they kick it to him because they kick it to him
too much. He did actually say that yesterday. They went to him more times yesterday afternoon than they ever have in his career. They went 24 times. And Damien Hardwick was the first person in his press conference to say, the Coleman's over. Can we return to a sense of normality?
That is funny. I think the big shock in Duck's team was Tom Stewart. As good as he's been, I think he had him in a back pocket. And that's over Grimes, Stratton, Hearn.
Grimes got to be in, doesn't he?
Well, not according to Duck. It's Stewart ahead of those three, which is interesting.
Okay. What at the end of Dimmer's Hard press conference said something about Brooklyn Brewery?
There was an AOP journo, Michael Ramsey, was wearing a Brooklyn Brewery T-shirt. We couldn't hear what Dimmer said. So he pointed at Michael.
I'm looking forward to having a Brooklyn.
And he pointed at him and he sort of said something and we didn't really hear him. And we thought, is he giving him a clip there? And so we went over to Michael and said, no. Brooklyn Brewery. So he was pretty pleased.
Is he the owner or something? All right, let's talk about some of the losers because there's plenty of those. Power Jay-Z, as Ken Hinckley said himself, he felt wounded that the trading has not worked for them. There has to be a big overhaul at Port Power.
Well, interesting that Lee Montagne on Saturday said that Port Adelaide's missed its premiership window. He thinks that's closing with a lot of those guys getting to their sort of the
end
of their careers. And if that's the case, it's been a huge fail. So they've made finals, what, once in the last 4 years? Is that right?
God, does that include that Hawthorn?
Yeah, the preliminary final loss. So if that's the case, you know, it's been a huge disappointment, and pressure's got to come on Camperdown, Ken Hinckley. Whether they can get Scotty Lysett from West Coast to try and beef up that ruck stock, that would help because Paddy can't do it by himself.
Yeah, it looks like they're going to lose Jared Pollock as well, which isn't going to help. But
just
pay him. Well,
mate, they are tighter.
Do you now that you know, like you've rolled the dice on Rockcliffe, Motlop, Watts?
Sack
it hasn't
all.
Really worked.
Keep,
how much are they
gotta
paying
keep
them?
Keep him. Seriously, that's. If they lose him, that's criminal. Mm. Carlton and the Suns, anything we can say other than that they are Scheisenhausen? 100-point massacres, priority picks.
Not a lot to, Blaine
Bocurst
to salvage
had a
from
bit
the
to
season.
Say. Blaine Bocurst on Twitter was outstanding
well,
on Saturday night.
Big crack at Big crack at everyone, yeah. I think it was, because he obviously didn't hold back before he was even drafted there in having a crack at Mick Malthouse. He went and dredged out that old tweet and said, sorry, Mick, wrong coach, and then proceeded to, which is probably never a good idea late on a Saturday night if you're jumping on the Twitter machine, the Tweetalizer.
There, yeah.
If you got 15 minutes up your sleeve, it's probably worth a look, because he went back at everyone.
Don't drink and tweet, it's fair to say. That's the golden rule of social media. It's interesting, the situation for Mitch McGovern. Slight trade HQ.
Are we starting trade
should
HQ?
We move in, yeah. Let's move into that. Like, you know, the number of walkouts from the Adelaide Football Club is extraordinary now because, as we understand it, Mitch McGovern is ready to leave the Crows, and his best options at the moment, from what we can gather, is Hawthorn, who are notoriously very quiet on the... hardly say anything on the trade front.
Just
so Hawthorn,
get it done.
Yeah, or Carlton. And they're,
really?
They're the ones who will have a lot of salary cap room, clearly, and potentially the draft pick cachet. You know, if they get another priority pick, you know, they can trade that to Adelaide or downgrade pick one, and he would be perfect. Like, particularly, you know, Levi Casbolt's been in and out of the team a bit. Mackay is still developing, so at centre-half forward, he would be a great addition to a football club which needs to start winning games.
Could there be any other walkouts? Because Collective Minds are going to do a press conference, the mob who organised their camp today or Monday. Could there be others that leave? Would Eddie Betts be one of those?
I haven't heard that.
Okay.
The interesting one is Brad Hill at Fremantle, which is one that's sort of starting to get a bit of legs. Ross Lyon said he would be surprised if he left, but it's a bizarre one because...
Brad Hardy went with it. He knows that place very well.
Yeah, well, Brad Hill, I think normally when this stuff happens, and if it's totally untrue, normally the player of the club just comes out and smashes
it. No.
And that hasn't happened.
What
so.
About Luke Dalhouse?
I think he's headed to Geelong on a four-year deal. Story in the Herald Sun on Monday. Mick and Lauren, I think he asked for a five-year deal from the Bulldogs to get started. The Dogs said no, and the Cats have been into him because their small forwards, Lincoln McCarthy, Corey Gregson, have been hard hit by injuries. They haven't had a lot of stability and continuity in that position. So he would be perfect because he tackles, he kicks goals, although he's only been there's only been two or three of them this season. And Geelong could also lose Daniel Menzel to St Kilda on a two-year deal. Geelong's only going to pay Daniel Menzel a one-year deal. So that could be a straight swap. I think it will happen.
Well, yep. Tom Lynch, we think, is just a certainty to go to Richmond. Julie Bishop and Malcolm Turnbull, they're moving on as well. Dylan Scheel, I reckon Carlton are right up to their necks in this.
This is where it's going to get interesting, isn't it? Because if they're into Mitch McGovern, as Jay says, and they've got that salary cap room, Dylan Scheel, we know he's been open about, you know, that he wants to stay at GWS, but... You know, as we know, anything could happen. I think that's where, as you say, this priority pick situation is going to come into play of whether, you know, they end up asking for one or are given
one.
If they ask for one, though, my understanding is that there'd be a number of clubs that would just be absolutely outraged if Carlton is afforded a priority pick.
So they should be.
Given the players that they've traded away over recent years and that sort of stuff. So that's going to be definitely one to watch over the future weeks. But I think a lot's going to have to play into Carlton's hands, pick-wise and all that sort of thing. Players, as you say, like Dylan Shiel, may be changing their mind if they're going to land someone like him and Mitch McGovern.
Well, they get
be
pick
huge.
Two, say. You give it straight to the Giants for Shiel, don't you? Bang, because they've got salary cap pressures.
The thing is, Dylan Shiel, is like, we've asked him this for months, and every time he says, no, I haven't even thought about moving. So I think GWS would
maybe
be...
we just have to believe him.
Yeah, well, we're trying, but GWS has a tight salary cap, and they're going to have to move, you know, him or a similar player.
Someone on.
Yeah, because they need some relief. Just on the Western Bulldogs also, Mick, yep. I reckon Mitch Wallace might be staying.
Staying.
Yeah, after a chat with Luke Beveridge. But I reckon Jordan Roughhead, I reckon he could be headed out to either West Coast, St Kilda or Port Adelaide.
Rightio. Well, look, we're going to have the week off for the players are, but we are going to do a podcast next week, which will be up at the usual time, and we'll see you then.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.